before Brother Johnny comes to sing, I want him to be ready to, if you will. I want to ask Ruthie to get up here and say 16 words. Come on. They can be repeated, you know. Good to have you here.
Well, good morning. I don't really know what to say.
When did you get in?
I got in Monday morning. I left Petrolina. Claudia and I drove to Petrolina from Fortaleza on Saturday, and because of her being alone in Fortaleza wasn't a good idea, so she I left her with her brothers and sisters there in Petrolina, where she'll continue the work there. It was the decision of both of us that at this time I should honor my parents. Sorry, and coming home to take care of them and to be with them during this very difficult time that they're going through. And so Claudia and I, along with some of my sisters, decided that this would be a way to honor them, as the Bible tells us to. So I brought all my work to do here, and thank you. And through email and Skype, I'll be working along with Claudia and our the gal that designs our work, and we will continue that way and see how it comes out. But it's a great honor for me to be here with my parents and to accompany them in this tough stage of life that they're facing. And it was a rough trip. I left on Sunday, last Sunday, and from Petrolina, and flew to Salvador. Was 2 hours, a good flight. Got into São Paulo and boarded the plane at 9 o'clock, and they announced that we were taxiing out, and they brought it back. And they didn't deplane us. They kept us for 5 hours on the plane with engine problems. And at one point they said that they could go. At another point they said it was not correctable. And then they came back another hour and said, we're going, because some person and some head honcho in San Francisco said we could go. And so I held on to my pillow as we took off, and God took me to Chicago. As we were arriving in Chicago, it was snowing, and 6 inches of snow. When I arrived, I was freezing because I didn't have a jacket. And but the Lord provided and got there, and my flight was delayed. And the gate changed 3 times, and it delayed 3 times, and I finally arrived at 7:15 in San Diego, in sunny San Diego. So I'm here, and Lord willing, the Lord will just guide and direct as I'm scheduled for 3 months, but we will see how the Lord leads in everything. And it's good to be here, and sorry for the tears and stuff. And Claudia's there in Petrolina, and she continues to work there, and she's at the deaf church, and she's helping out there in their Becky program too. And so I would ask that you would remember her. She's not in good health either, and so that's tough, you know, to have your parents not well here, and to have your partner not well on the other end. So, but thank you for your support, and thank you for giving me word today. That last song got to me, so I was already kind of sensitive and all, but thank you.
Brother Johnny, come sing us a song.
Good morning, everyone. You know, Satan, he troubles me at a lot of times. Amen. And he got followers that do his dirty deed also. But you know what, Pastor? I depend on the precious Holy Spirit. So when Satan and his compadres come against me to point the finger at me, I trust, I cry out to my Lord and my God for mercy. Because when Satan says, this time you're done it, Johnny, you've gone too far. How could the Lord receive you now? Were you ruined and scarred over something deep down inside of me? Said, child, you're still my own, and my love for you is still the same. So, child, just come back home. He gave me more than I ever asked for. No more than I ever dreamed, more than I could imagine when I came back home to him. Oh, when I asked him to forgive me, oh, he gave me a robe and a ring. I said, make me as one of your servants. But he made me a child of the King. Now when I asked him to forgive me, oh, he gave me a robe and a ring. I said, Lord, make me as one of your servants. But he made me a child of the King. That's what he does, Pastor. I feel the enemy know. For those who come against me, they better be careful, because my Heavenly Father gets angry when they come against me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord.
Let's open our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. We had a special Sunday school lesson this morning about Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode that little donkey that had never been ridden before into the city of Jerusalem, and everybody cried out, Hosanna! Here comes the King. The King is coming. We're going to look at this and then make a few comments about it before we leave here today. Oh, tonight, oh, let me advertise that sermon tonight, because I would like for all of you to be here and hear that. It's about a one world religion. There have been three attempts down through the ages of man to make all of the people of the world into one religion. Right now, I couldn't tell you how many religions we have, and those religions we have are divided up into denominations. Look how many Christianity has. And there's a lot of them. We're going to be talking about that tonight, and I think you'll appreciate that. Reading now from Matthew 21, verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man might say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. I just had a strange thought there. Here, I've never preached a sermon on this, but I will. When you see little kids, especially, that have pet animals like cats and dogs, and they'll take doll clothes or baby clothes or something like that and dress them up in it. That's not what this is talking about. I just happened to notice that, and I thought I'd better clarify it, because somebody, where'd Sam go? somebody might think that they took their clothes and says to this little donkey, now, oh, let me lift your foot up here. All right, let's get back to the scripture. It's funny how things like that pop into your mind, isn't it? Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto them, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set them thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now, I will be repeating this for some of those of you who were here in Sunday school, but others have come in. This night before this first Palm Sunday, Jesus and his disciples had enjoyed the hospitality of Lazarus, the one that he raised from the dead, that had been dead for 4 days and buried already, and his sisters, Martha and Mary. they'd been in their home here in Bethany. And then come morning, they joined with the hundreds of people that were coming into Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Now, this feast of Passover was the same one that had been initiated back in Exodus 12, 1462 BC, it was, in the days of Moses. That was just prior to the deliverance of Israel from out of Egypt's bondage, where they'd been down there so long. Now, this was a feast both of commemoration and of anticipation. They were commemorating their deliverance, the deliverance of Israel, from out of Egypt's bondage. They were anticipating the coming of Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who would liberate and set free these people of Israel in that day. Of course, they wanted their kingdom restored to them like it had been in the days of David and Solomon. But instead of coming as a king, Jesus came as a common man. He was made in the likeness of sinful man, if you can imagine. He didn't come to give them deliverance from the Romans and establish their kingdom. He came to die on a cross, to liberate them from the bondage of sin and slavery to the devil. That was his reason for coming. He came not as a new Moses, the deliverer, but he came as a sacrificial lamb. As John the Baptist had pointed out, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now, instead of demonstrating his power by bringing a plague of judgment upon those who were oppressing Israel, he came to offer himself through the Holy Spirit unto God, as foretold by the prophets. Now, they did not know how this deliverance would come, but they did know that it was coming. This belief that they had, that cry, "Hosanna to the Son of David," came from a heart that was born of desperation for centuries of expectation. It rose up in their throats, and they cried, "Hosanna." The Pharisees says, "Tell them to shut up." Jesus said, "Why, if they didn't cry out, these rocks would cry out." Now, I want you to visualize Jesus as he mounts this colt. He's going to ride it into Jerusalem. It's never been ridden before. And the people begin to cast their clothes in the path before him, and they throw palm trees down in his path and cut the limbs off of other trees. That's the reason why it's called Palm Sunday, by the way, is because of those palm leaves that were strewn in his path this day. Now, this is wonderful because John had written in his gospel, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." But when we look at this, there are great multitudes of people who are receiving him. But they're not receiving him as their Savior from sin. They don't seem primarily interested in or concerned about the spiritual condition of their hearts and their lives before God. It's pathetic. I wonder how it would have been if Jesus, instead of riding this little colt into the city, had come riding on a big white stallion, dressed in white shining armor, girded with a sharp two-edged sword, looking like a conqueror. Why, all of those people would have followed him to the man. I think we have the same problem today. They wanted to accept and receive Jesus as king. They wanted to be liberated from their Roman bondage, and they wanted their kingdom to be established. They were even willing to let Jesus be their king. But Jesus knew their hearts. He knew their souls. He knew they were lost, that they needed a sacrifice for their sins. And so he came, not to be crowned as king, but rather to die as a lamb sacrificed for the sins of the world. There are many people today in our society, and this is throughout the world, who are in need. And in their desperation, they turn to the church. This is happening today. They find themselves perhaps in physical danger. Maybe their bodies have been stricken with some dread disease. Maybe they're financially bankrupt and destitute. Maybe they're losing their jobs and losing their homes. Maybe their marriage is failing. Maybe their spouse is leaving. Maybe their children have rebelled and turned away from the parents. And now they come to church seeking a solution for their physical problems. And when they come to church, instead of giving them money and making them financially independent, instead of healing their bodies and restoring them to perfect health, instead of reconciling them to their spouse and their children, they have the gospel preached to them and they're given the opportunity to be reconciled to God, to be saved from their sins and to make heaven their home. But that's not what they're looking for. They cry out, "We don't want that. We're not concerned about the spiritual condition of our souls before God. We're not concerned about sin and righteousness. We're not interested in where our immortal soul will spend eternity. We want peace and prosperity and we want happiness, and we want it now, in this present life, in this present world. We want a solution to our present problems. We'll not worry about the future until some other time. We want relief from our present circumstances. And too many people are looking for that, and as a result, they come to church where they think they can find it, and they go away empty, disappointed, disillusioned, unhappy, their needs unmet, their desires unfulfilled, and they think that God has failed them. My friends, the day will come, and I think it's coming quickly, when every man shall sit in the shade of his own vine and fig tree, like the Bible says. But that time is not yet. We're still in that day called the age of grace, when God is seeking to save those who are lost. When God is calling men and women and boys and girls to salvation, to find peace with Him and to find peace in Him. To receive free the gift of everlasting life through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's offering security, peace, pardon, cleansing, and forgiveness of sin to all those who will accept it. It's free. His invitation is the same as it was back yonder in 2319 BC, in the days of Noah, when all of the people on the face of the earth were facing extinction by the flood. And God said, Genesis 7:1, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." Jesus is that ark today, and He's calling, God is calling people into His ark. The invitation is still the same as it was back in 586 BC, the days of the prophet Isaiah, when the people were standing on the edge of a 70-year captivity in Babylon. And God said to them, it's recorded in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, let us reason together." But they didn't. The enemy came. They went away into captivity and into bondage once again. Now, the invitation that He gives is still the same as it was here in Matthew 21 in the days of His earthly ministry, because the people of that day were standing right there on the edge of AD 70 destruction. And God said in Matthew 11:28, again, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Again, they didn't. And even at the end of that first century, the last invitation recorded when the people were standing on the brink of the tribulation period on the last page of his Bible in Revelation 22, verse 17. God says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Yes, Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, centuries ago, and offered himself to his people as their Messiah. How tragic that before that week was gone, many of those voices that had cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, changed. And they were shouting out in their hatred, their anger, their rage, their frustration, crucify, crucify. We will not have this man to reign over us. We have no king but Caesar. Let him be crucified. And on this Palm Sunday of 2015, our Lord Jesus Christ is once again presenting himself across the nation and across the world. Churches are filled as this Easter season approaches. By the way, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Remember that. For multitudes of people, this is the only time of the year that they darken a church door. Why? What is it that draws people to Christ at this time of the year? Perhaps it's the same thing that drew them to him on that first Palm Sunday. Did you ever stop and think about how we have two religious holidays, Easter and Christmas. But how different Christmas is from Easter. Christmas has become so commercialized that it is against the law in so many places to wish somebody Merry Christmas. You have to say Happy Holidays. And what about Christmas? Gifts, Christmas trees, lights, decorations all over the place. Some people leave them up till after New Year. That's a commercial holiday. You're in a business. If you don't make it in that month before Christmas, you go broke. It's Christmas dollars that keep our economy going. But what about Easter? What about Easter? The same Spirit that drew the attention of the multitudes to this lonely figure riding on a colt, the foal of an ass, down the side of the Mount of Olives, headed into Jerusalem. What was it that drew them to him? I believe that it was the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that draws people to Christ. Even the people of our generation. God seems to be focusing our attention every year to that time in Jerusalem when He, in His great love for us, delivered up His only begotten Son for our sins on the cross. And the sequel to that death and burial in Joseph's new tomb was His resurrection from the dead on the third day. Think about that. This is Palm Sunday. We begin the week that will culminate in Easter next Sunday. A great important week, more important than that first week in Genesis chapter 1 when God started off that week by saying, "Let there be light," and He wound up with man on the sixth day, creating him. Jesus comes, offers Himself as the Messiah. He is rejected. He is betrayed. He is crucified. He is buried. And the third day He rises from the dead. Never to die again. So today we cross the threshold, Palm Sunday, into this glorious week, a holy week. And let's pray to God that our attention may be taken away from that which is secular, worldly, materialistic, these temporal things, and give way to the realities of spiritual things that are eternal, immortal, and everlasting. May our attention be taken away from our bodies and drawn to our souls. And may the needs of the flesh be set aside as we minister to the needs of our soul. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Appreciate your attention you gave to the preaching. And remember today, worship the Lord. Let Him be King in your heart. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your goodness, Your graciousness toward us. We thank You that Your Spirit of grace has been upon each and every one of us. And we, I'm sure most of us here today, perhaps all, I hope and wish, have been to the cross and we have accepted the sacrifice that was made for our sins. And through Your grace, we've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. There may be someone here today that isn't saved, and we give this invitation to them so that they might have the opportunity to come, as a lot of us have, to Jesus Christ and accept Him as our sacrifice for sin, taking away the sins of our souls and replacing it with joy and salvation. So, Father, speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
484.
Thank you.
Will you come this morning? Will you come? Amen. Jesus, I come to thee. Isn't it wonderful that we have access to Jesus? Brother Sam Burton, will you dismiss our services in prayer, please?